Welcome genre junkies.
This is the show where we celebrate a love of reading genre fiction. So, read what you love. And to hell with whatever anyone else thinks. Hey, genre junkies. Welcome to a fantasy horror hybrid night.
Oh, yeah. I guess it is a hybrid, isn't it?
It is. So tonight we're going to be discussing The Bad Ones, a novel by Melissa Albert.
A friend of the show, Melissa Albert.
Yeah, we haven't done a Melissa Albert book in a long time, but we did review The Hazelwood and The Night Country. The Hazelwood being one of the best books I've ever read in my entire life.
It is outstanding.
I'm so obsessed with that book. And I liked Night Country a lot too, of course. But
oh, yeah.
And this one was one of my most anticipated reads of the year. And I had to have this hard copy of it because, first of all, it's got that matte feeling.
That almost like waxy feel.
Yeah. And the cover art is this absolutely gorgeous kind of breaking stone angel, but it's all in like gold and hot pink, and it's got white eyes. It's just like, it's very on brand for me.
I'm looking over at our bookshelf right now, and I think we actually might have a thing for black and hot pink covers.
Would match my vehicle.
True. Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of our thing, I guess. I don't know.
My microphone is also black and hot pink.
Wow. We have a type, I guess.
Well, it's definitely go
to change the logo. It's gonna be black and pink.
Well, it's like, it's very arresting colors, I think, mm-hmm. is what helps. So before we discuss that, you know, tiny piece of housekeeping. Sorry, we're a little late. Yeah. Has some sad family stuff going on, which happens in the life. So we just had to roll with it. But we're here now. We'll never fully abandon you without letting you know. So.
For sure. I love it. We'll never fully abandon you without letting you know.
We'll let you know.
Of course, yeah.
Do you have anything you want to share with the class?
Okay.
I mean, I think you should share your obsession.
My new obsession?
Your new revised obsession.
Yeah, I've gotten back into Magic the Gathering, and it's a bad. It's bad. It's good. It's really good. I'm really having a good time. But
it's a little out of control.
It's a little out of control. It's a rabbit hole that I kind of walked away from, I don't know, 15 years ago, and I'm falling back down
like
the hole.
Mafia. Yeah. I really do like playing Magic the Gathering with Scott and with our close friends. I'm kind of more like a casual fan like that. Like, I have no interest in like competitions or playing against basically anybody I don't know. My commander deck is Fae, because obviously, and well, Scott's building me to non-commander decks that is going to be equine and like unicorn theme, Pegasus, horses, all that, and then also a kind of merfolk, like watery depths, magical people deck. That's where I come in. I just like the pretty cards and having some fun with friends. Fucking Magic is hard, y'all.
It is a really hard game. It is a very hard game.
There's so much shit to remember, and I have to play against one person or the sphere of influence, because I can't be seeing what you got across the table all the way over there.
Well, it's one of those things where you really have to learn your deck and know what your deck is doing so that you're going to interact with other people. But like, man, it's so hard to describe if you haven't played it, just how hard it really is. It's a lot of fun.
Yes.
But yeah, it's difficult. But that's why I feel like we have a pretty good friend group when it comes to Magic, where they're in it to have fun too.
Yeah. No one's like, I mean, like people are committed, but it's also like not that deep.
Right. We all want each other to have fun.
Yeah, we're just having fun. It's a game, and games should be fun. Everybody should always remember that games should be fun.
Although if Kyle pulls out another vampire deck, Kyle, I'm going to bring addicted. A steak to the table next time.
Kyle's addicted to vampires, and we're trying to break him of it. On some fun news, I got my Selkie. I mean, it's like basically a sleeve.
Yeah. a cuff? What would you call that? A bracer?
It goes from my wrist to my elbow, and I have some other tattoos on top of my arm. This on my right arm, and I was sick of looking at my nude arm. It would bother me, my naked arm. I hated it. So, of course, my girl Amanda, the best tattoo artist in the entire world. We've been talking about this Selkie for a long time, and we both love Selkies. Door Selkies. We gotta find a good Selkie book. Any recs? Any recommendations for a good Selkie book?
That's a great point.
I feel like I read one Selkie book, but it wasn't good and it was a long time ago. So not that one. Don't recommend that one. I didn't like that
Whatever that one is, yeah. Not that one. For sure not that one.
Without further ado, let's discuss The Bad Ones, a novel by Melissa Albert. Goddess, goddess, count to five in the morning. Who's alive? In the course of a single winter's night, four people vanish without a trace across a small town. Nora's estranged best friend, Becca, is one of the lost. As Nora tries to untangle the truth of Becca's disappearance, she discovers a darkness in her town's past, as well as a string of coded messages Becca left for her to unravel. These clues lead Nora to a piece of local lore, a legendary goddess of forgotten origins who played a role in Nora and Becca's own childhood games. And it is also noted here, they call it an arresting crossover horror fantasy threaded with dark magic.
Well, all right then. I will give it to you. It is a hybrid.
Oh, and also just, I like this. This is really good wording right here. The Bad Ones is a poison pen. You don't hear that term a lot. Poison pen love lever. Love letter to semi-toxic best friendship, the occult power of childhood play and artistic creation, and the razor-thin line between make-believe and belief.
Oh, I love that.
I mean, like, that. This gonna sell ya. That's gonna sell ya.
I haven't heard the term poison pen, though. Is that a...
I have. It's old. It's an old term.
Interesting. Yeah. I like that. So, Melissa Albert is a genius at dark fantasy.
She's the master
of this kind of twist your brain a little bit, almost eldritch twists on kind of classic fantasy tropes. She's disturbing,
yes,
in great ways. Beautiful imagery and imagination. I am obsessed with this book. This book is an absolute obsession. I think that it's created this. It's taken a theme that you and I both really like and talk about even outside of books, and taken it further into this really powerful, fascinating, beautiful, dark direction.
I have to say the book definitely took me in some unexpected directions, which is always really fun and really cool. I really liked especially the final chapters of this book. Really, really cool stuff happening. For me, I'm going to say it's somewhere between page turner and obsession. I thought it was a for sure lock-in obsession, but it just wasn't quite there for me, but it's clinging with its little fingertips. And perhaps in the spoiler section, I'll reveal more about that. But that having been said, I obviously really loved the book, and I just really love Melissa Albert. I love her words. She is wordy, flowy, poetry, flowery, over the top description, which is so not you.
It's not me, but something about the gothicness of the worlds that she creates, which I guess is not really me either, but for some reason, it just draws me in.
So, I mean, I'm so happy that you were in love with the gothicism of this book, because gothic is a very me thing, but it's not necessarily always a very you thing.
It's not, but something about the turning a childhood wonder idea in a gothic direction, I guess, just grabs me. In a way that that your typical gothic doesn't. This is a book that I could have had, you know, I have said many times that some books are too long.
Yeah.
Stephen King.
Get out of here.
This is a book I actually kind of want the Stephen King treatment.
I could have absolutely used more book. And it's not super short. I mean, what are we at here? Like 370 some pages.
It's but a perfectly satisfactorily long book.
I wanted more early book.
Like early, I would have.
Like their childhood?
Exactly. And you get. And it definitely talks about their childhood, right? But yeah. I could have used Stephen. I loved this premise and the character so much that I would have been happy with a Stephen King treatment of, hey, let's just follow them through their whole lives for 300 pages before getting to the main plot. That's how much I really love the complicated relationship between Nora and Becca.
Right.
And it's so real. Have either been in or have witnessed a friendship like that.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah, that's definitely a theme you and I both like, is kind of obsessive friendships, especially when people are still, before they're adults. And in this book, they're young adults. They're like seniors in high school. Yeah, they're 17, 18. Yeah. They're about to turn 18. And it's an interesting time in one's life and kind of reflecting back on, you know, this near obsessive, near toxic relationship. And it's been their whole lives long. And then also playing fantasy games as a kid that starts to, like, you know,
lead into reality.
In
your own reality, like real life, you know, I think there is a point in my life, at least, when the fantasy, we'll call them games, kind of started to feel real to me.
Are we talking about right now with magic cards?
I'm a planeswalker. I'm a vampire.
I don't think I've read a book in a while where there was a character that was a photographer.
I liked that.
How was that for you?
It was really nice. She shoots on film, which there was a couple things in there that I was like,
actually.
But it's okay. It's okay. That said, I really liked it. I would have really liked to know what the camera was. For all of the detail, like, could you at least give me that? Could you at least tell me what kind of film camera it was?
Two characters that are photographers, actually.
Yes, two characters. And the only thing that we get at one point is that one of the three cameras that are mentioned is a Canon.
I mean, it's fair.
That's great. Yeah. I love Canon film
cameras.
She clearly
was like, I'm not going to go that deep. let's just say these two people like cameras, okay? I thought that was cool. And then I liked that our Nora, she's into the school literary zine. I thought that was really cool. Like, I wish that my school had had one of those. I probably would have been into it.
I wish that my school had one of those, and I wasn't. I don't know if I would have been really into it. I'm actually kind of surprised that something like that didn't exist at my school.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if a lot of schools have, like, school newspapers and that kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, for one thing,
budgets, you know?
You probably see it more online than anything else, as opposed to, like, a stapled paper magazine.
Can I also just point out, it was kind of nice that Nora didn't have her own car. Sometimes, like, in books and movies and stuff, I get so sick of these goddamn teenagers having their own car. You know what? Everybody's not made of money.
I mean, she can drive.
She takes her mom's car.
Yeah, exactly. But, I agree. I agree.
Come on now. They're not rich, and I appreciate that. So there's also some great, if you like a cemetery, there's like some cool cemetery things hearkening to that angel. Really, so much of the juicy, nitty gritty horror fantasy of this really takes place in a spoiler capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about our audience for this book. This is a little bit tricky because I think if you don't like reading about young adult characters, then, you know, and there's people who are like adults who don't like reading about young adult characters. And there's probably young adults who don't like reading about young adult characters. So I would say that would be a factor in maybe like some people not enjoying this book. But, You know, we always say don't limit yourself too much by genres. I mean, hello, it's what we're doing here. And, you know, audiences and stuff. But
you make a really good point.
Yeah.
I wouldn't classify whatever. Like, this doesn't feel super YA to me, despite it having some expected tropes of the genre. It doesn't really feel YA despite the ages of the characters to me anyway. Right. But I do agree with you. It's not like a Harry Potter where who don't normally read about children are going to enjoy them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do think that it falls into a pretty broad category.
I do too.
I am going to recommend this book to a lot of our friends.
Yeah.
I just might not recommend it to my mom.
Yeah, I'm not sure that like my mom or some other adult readers I know would like it. So where would we put that?
I'm putting it in broad.
Broad's fair.
I think it's going to appeal to pretty much anyone unless they just completely write off any kind of YA book.
Right. But if you like the buzzwords we're kind of throwing out there, horror, fantasy, childhood, magical games,
suburban gothic,
blending of realities, certainly a lot of girl power.
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time.
Big time girl power. And ooh, some more even juicy stuff. Oh, I can't say it.
I know.
But I there's some really cool stuff that happens in this book that's really spoilery. But I just know that if people knew about some of that stuff, they would definitely be like, I want to read about that, but we can't take that chance.
So let's just say, just read it.
just read the book. Get back to us.
I think anybody who listens to our show is going to love this book.
Oh, that's good.
That's kind of my threshold for broad. If you're listening to this, you're gonna like it, and you should pick it up. You just might not give it to your mom after you've read it. Give it to your mom. Your mom might be like, your mom might listen to Genre Junkies. I don't know.
All right.
I'm not your mom. I'm not the boss of your mom.
You're not my real mom. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the spoiler-free section. We don't really have a trigger warning necessarily. There's some difficult content in this book. Some hard stuff kind of happens to people, but I'm not sure I have the terms for triggers for it.
I don't feel like there's any strong triggers in the book.
Yeah. If you're worried, of course, look at some other sources.
It deals with, you know, teenage trauma.
Let's put it that way.
And if you have some teenage trauma yourself that you find triggering, sure. But
who doesn't have teenage trauma?
But I don't, you know, it's a crossover of fantasy horror. It's a dark fantasy. It doesn't necessarily go hard into some of the triggers.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you in just a moment after this message from our sponsor.
And now, this is that message from our sponsor, us.
Us.
It's Genre Junkies.
We sponsor ourselves.
You should follow us. Leave a comment.
Leave a comment.
Send us an email.
What about a review?
Yeah. Send the podcast to your mom.
Do you want to share the podcast with a friend, a coworker, a neighbor,
a cat?
A cat. You could buy us books. Our P.O. box is listed on our website. I'm not going to promise we're going to read them, but you could send us little trinkets and little books in the mail. We'd love that. That'd be so kind.
Just reach out. Talk to us. We're friendly, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the sponsor message. Cool. Now for the spoiler section.
Welcome to the spoiler. Oh, whoa.
I'm going to count you in.
Oh my God.
Gotta count us in.
Messed up.
You're the one who wants me to count in.
I always do. I jump the gun.
5, 4, 3.
Here we are at the spoiler section for The Bad Ones, a novel by Melissa Albert. Okay. I think I know why you like this book.
Really? Why?
I think it's because...
Is this a joke or is it real? Is this a joke or is this a bit?
This is a bit. I'm being kind of serious, but also kind of jokey. Like, I'm being a little hyperbolic.
Okay.
You like it when people mess up and get in trouble. You like people to pay penance and be like, you're bad.
I do know that you mean this half as a bit, but you're absolutely right.
Because, like, the flip side of that coin is a little bit me, who I get over things really quickly. I forgive people very easily. I don't stay mad very well. It doesn't suit my character at all, just my base nature.
Yeah.
And, like, that's me. And then you're like a normal person who's like, no, you broke the law. You broke, and not like the law, like stupid laws, but like you broke the laws of man and
you're
nature.
You're a bad person.
You need a vengeful angel to come strike you down.
And the superpower of knowing the evil that's in the hearts of man. That's a great superpower that I want it. I want it.
Yeah. No, I would like that too, because I think it would help me to feel better about, like, you know what? I should be not nice to this person. And I am not nice to people sometimes. I'm not always nice.
You have a pretty good gauge on people.
You know what? I already kind of have that superpower. I can tell sometimes from pictures of people.
But what you don't have is a superpower to eat them.
Yeah. I don't have the license to kill in a James Bond sense here.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. I would let the goddess into me. I will feed you, vengeful spirit. And I think that Nora is a little bit of a chicken for not doing it. I think Nora is a little bit too much of a goody two shoes, a little bit weak to not.
Let that goddess in. Harsh. I love Becca's justifications for why it's a good fit for her. Just like I love Rita's.
Yeah.
Justifications for why it's a good fit for them. I'm not sure I've ever quite read a book where that is the thing, and we've kind of read like where it's kind of this avenging angel sort of thing. You know, we've had like touches of it, and we've had touches of people who want to be possessed and want to be kind of ridden by spirits. Mm-hmm. But this is something so different. And, you know, there's always a warning in the spiritual community. If you've got to be careful who spirits say they are or who you mm-hmm. think they are, because they're not. And this, I love that we don't get a definition of what this spirit is. It's not a demon. Mm-hmm. We know it's not Patty. It's this, and it's totally fine saying, hey, call me a goddess, worship me.
Yeah.
It's not quite anything you can put your finger on, and it's, part of me thinks maybe it's an egregore.
Well, so it's an egregore, for those who don't know, is a spirit or god that is created by the thoughts and beliefs of a person or group of people.
Yeah.
That is exactly where I thought this was going too. That this goddess was brought into creation by the belief of people.
I love that we don't know that for sure, though.
Well, except the goddess, it, as they refer to it towards the end, says that it's been around the whole time.
Yeah,
just people stopped believing.
Well, right,
stopped worshiping it, and it saw this person who it realized I could be that goddess.
I could fill that need
and, you know, recreate their belief. And that is something like that kind of like that mana, that power of belief is what empowers a god. Mm-hmm. I've always found that to be really interesting.
Yes, yes, yes. And like, what happens if nobody believes you anymore and in you anymore? Do you just kind of go like dormant? You know, until maybe somebody finds you. But
I like to picture her as kind of the goblins in Labyrinth, just opening their eyes.
Yeah. Wait, did somebody just say the words? Yeah. No, I totally agree. But I like that. I mean, I like that the edges are blurry. Mm-hmm, I like that it's not my name's Agnes or my name's, you know, Gargamesh or, you know, anything like specific. It's just kind of easy come, easy go. Okay. I mean, it wants to cling on, but at the same time, it, I don't know, there's something so non-human about that. Like, the way it comes, the way it goes, it's, it doesn't play by human emotional rules. Very cool.
Yeah, and there's a moment towards the end. This is you know, the big reveal when Nora has been possessed and says, I can't live with knowing this.
Yeah.
And the goddess just says, okay,
I'll block this all out and for you.
I mean, that was chilling.
And
just
what a
one word response. Okay.
And what a great device for us to, you know, you kind of go back in time, mm-hmm. like to that moment in the book.
6 months ago, 5 months ago, 4 months ago, the whole way that the time was. Yeah.
And it makes sense why she's lost time and stuff then.
Yes.
I also think it's so Melissa Albert, the way that Becca is like in a pocket dimension.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Beautiful description of
wherever she was.
Was like.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised that Becca came back after all was said and done. That didn't feel very Melissa Albert to me.
But I guess I think it was kind of nice because in a way it was kind of like giving this young person who's been through a lot of trauma a chance.
Yes.
And I think that's important to extend that sometimes in a book.
And she didn't come back out the same. You know, multiple times it says she's very changed.
She even has like a streak in her hair.
Yeah. Oh, her hair is completely white.
Yeah.
Her hair, I think.
Oh, it's growing out white.
It's growing out white. I think she described it as like being like unicorn mane white.
Sounds pretty.
Yeah, it actually does.
But yeah, she's different. And I love that Becca and Nora have trauma. They have a little PTSD from this experience that, you know, it doesn't have to be the whole plot of this book, but it's nice in a modern day story audience and writer to, you know, acknowledge this stuff that the, you know, Frodo had PTSD and we just didn't talk about it for like 80 years or whatever. But it's important to acknowledge. Can I tell you one of the things that just held this back from being a little bit of an obsession?
Yeah, I'm very curious.
Maybe this is so picky, but I was a little, I kind of feel like she kind of dropped the Stone Angel a little bit. It's on the cover. It's in the cemetery. It's kind of a big part.
And talking about the eyes being picked out.
But then it goes nowhere.
That's a good point.
And I mean, I love Melissa Albert and I take a bullet for the woman. Like, let's be real. And I love her and I love her writing and all of that. But I kind of wish the Stone Angel had come back into play somehow.
And yeah, actually, that whole story about the wife dying and then the husband accidentally dying, that didn't pay off at all.
No, because I wanted more of a tie.
There
somehow.
Was no tie because, like, the implication was that this goddess reawoke when Eklund
Elkstrom?
Rita. Yeah, Rita reawakened her. That was kind of the implication. So what is the tie-in with that other?
Are we missing it? Because I couldn't find it.
I feel like. That's a good point.
Because that, it kind of bugged me, man, because I really, like I said, I love this cover. I love it. And maybe it's just supposed to be, you know, kind of like another pillar of the story of kind of, you know, what we're dealing with here, you know, kind
it's
of like this
thematic without being.
But I guess I would have just liked, and like, I accept that. I accept it being thematic, but I would have loved more of a tie into this angel. I really would have loved that.
Huh. Wow. That's gonna bother me now.
Oh shit. I'm sorry.
I feel like I need to. No, not like it does not change my opinion of the book. At all.
But we need answers.
But I feel like we've missed something.
Maybe.
And that's what bothers me. Because I don't like missing things.
I know. I don't like missing things either. But it
that's a really
me.
Good point. Because that it kind of suggested like, oh, this has been going on since before all of this. But
Well, that having been said, our dear beloved Kendar Blake blurbed this.
Oh.
She said, unsettling and unput downable. And she was right. Kirsten White, who we love.
By the way, the audiobook. of
this. Tell us about the audiobook.
Really good. Really, really good. Mm-hmm. The reader captures the voices of these teenage girls so well. Mm-hmm. There is a very definitive difference between the chapters that are in the viewpoint of Becca and the chapters that are in the viewpoint of Nora. Mm-hmm. And it's just so believable and raw. There's actual, like, real emotion in there, right, which I really appreciated. It's very gripping. And so I think it's definitely a recommendable audiobook.
That's awesome. We love to hear a good audiobook endorsement. What's the name of the boy?
James?
James. I like James.
I do like James. I like James.
He's a decent person. I think he's got an interesting story and background, and sad, but also, like, I don't know, it just seems kind of interesting. I love this way that he's, like, kind of indifferently drifting through high school because he's kind of already had a lot of life and responsibility and stuff.
Yeah, he's kind of just waiting for it to end to actually start his life.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought it was kind of sweet how Becca put them together, because she's like, they're going to need each other. I don't know, there was something really sweet about that.
It was sweet about that. And she was like, I think that these two would be good together. I also really like the idea that Becca and James were just friends. Like,
what a concept.
I really love that concept in books and stories of, like, hey, how about we just have two friends?
Right.
How about there not be tension between them and it will they, won't they? They're just friends and that's okay.
And it's kind of sweet that somebody who knew them both very well kind of were like, oh no, this is good. And I think it was nice how it felt organic, them growing closer to one another. Mm-hmm. You know, it felt pretty well paced, I think. I love the goddess rhyme.
Oh, yeah.
I love the goddess game. I love that they made goddesses. That's so cool.
I want to see that collection of photos. I want to see their goddesses. I want to see. That's an example when I said that I would be willing to have a Stephen King treatment of this book.
Yes.
Is that I have 5 to 10 chapters about every single one of the goddesses they create as their children. Mm-hmm. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
Yeah.
You know, to talk about Stephen King with fairy tale, you know, I learned that for fantasy, I can absolutely read about as much as you can throw at me.
See, it's really surprising then that you didn't get into the Game of Thrones books like I did, because he will tell you about every fucking hedge knight and everything. Maybe you need to go back.
Maybe if he finishes the series, I'll consider it.
Oh, he will finish it.
Actually, there is rumors that he has finished it now.
Give my man his time. I will. You know, if you're new, you don't know about this. I dreamed about George R. R. Martin many years ago, and it bonded me to him. It bonded me to George R. R. Martin. He made me pancakes in my dream on a little tabletop griddle. And I think that was a sign that he was telling me, this is before Genre Junkies.
Yes, it was.
He was telling me, you're destined for great literary things. enough about me and George. I'm sober. I'm sober now. And I don't drink. Can I say, this is so bad, but thank you for writing teens drinking. Like,
yeah,
don't
actually,
kids don't fucking drink.
It's actually not
do
worth
not
it.
It, do it.
It really isn't.
I honestly, like, don't do it. Just don't drink alcohol, for God's sake. But that's reality. A lot of teenagers drink alcohol.
They do.
And it was nice. It was refreshing to be like, they were kind of drinking it in a realistic way where it was all this hodgepodge shit, including like an embarrassing orange flavored vodka. Kind of mentioned,
like,
that.
Some random cocktail. Oh, which, by the way, I freaking love Sloane.
Oh my God, Sloane is
what
everything.
A great
Where's
character.
Sloane's book?
Right? Sloane is a fantastic character. I love both of them.
Ruth Sloane. Yeah, I like the whole friend group.
But Sloane is everything.
What do you think about Rita?
I
have so much compassion for her.
I have a lot of compassion for her, and I was down with everything until she started to basically groom someone to take her place as this avenging spirit, this body. I didn't love that. Like, she made that choice for herself, and I really appreciate that, and I respect that. As you know, if given the opportunity, I will be your vessel.
You volunteer's tribute.
Yeah, I volunteer. But you know, Becca was a very, very impressionable and
vulnerable
person who was taken advantage of in her most vulnerable moments.
I'm gonna stop you right there and play a little bit of devil's advocate Rita apologist.
Okay.
Because we have to remember, this is Rita's religion. So I'm not saying that what Rita did was right, but we have to remember she's thinking of this as her religion. And so it's okay in religion, if you're going with me here, to find the vulnerable and evangelize them.
That is fair. I will also say Becca is the one who seeks her out. She saw something she wasn't supposed to see.
Yes.
And she seeks her out. Yeah. So I guess there is a little bit of a level, like, I mean, should the adult in the situation say, you know, I don't really think that you are in the right mindset to make these kind of decisions for yourself for the rest of life? Maybe. But at the same time, like, Rita kind of, her whole worldview
is this,
has been shaped by this.
Yeah, this is her whole personality.
I guess that is somewhat forgivable.
Yeah, this is her religion.
Yeah.
And religion can get scary and cultish and problematic very quickly.
But I also like at the end, I think this was very important to my viewpoint as far as accepting the mantle, right?
Yeah.
Nora had a lying problem as a child.
Yes.
And may even have a lying problem going into adulthood.
Works for her in some of these situations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great storyteller, right? That doesn't make her a bad person. That doesn't that she...
Yeah. She's not a bad one.
Yeah. And this one does not, this book does not really go into the question of, well, can you really make decisions based on what somebody is going to do?
Yes.
It doesn't really explore that.
Though some people have already done some transgressions, like the teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that guy.
That guy was number one, deserve it.
I think we'd all sign up to eat that guy.
But like the little girl was going to do something pretty bad too. Clearly,
the first girl,
she needed help.
Yeah, though. She did need help.
She needed help, and so just because she is not neurotypical doesn't make her a bad person.
Well, let's put it this way: it's one of those thought experiments, because like Kurt is a good example of this too. He had solid plans to execute a school shooting. Yep. However, if Rita and Becca had intervened and gotten him help, you know, would same thing for some of these other people, not the fucking teacher, but you know, who knows how many countless other bad ones, right, along the way. It's just like with the whole, would you go back and kill baby Hitler? And it's like, well, what if you just took baby Hitler and put them in a new environment and raised them right?
Let them stay in art school.
Yeah, and put them in a family that would, you know, be loving and caring and all this shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they get so, I think, consumed by the goddess, mm-hmm, and the energy that it's just not even an option anymore.
And because the goddess is, make no mistake, using them.
Yes.
The goddess does not actually care about being a vengeful spirit. Uh-huh. This is the goddess's way of feeding.
Oh my God, I'm kind of picturing how No Face eats.
Ooh. See, I was getting a very like Cloak from Cloak and Dagger.
Also
that
good.
That kind of obtenebration.
Yeah. Oh, good word.
Just enveloping them.
Love that. Love that for them. All right. So, Scott, how are we going to rate this book?
I mean, I feel like we have to do it out of goddesses.
I'm going to give this book 8 goddesses out of 10. A very good book, one that I do recommend, one that I endorse by an author who I love very much, and I love her words, and I love her way of writing, and I love her worldview. Just a couple of things I would have liked to see more of that angel thing. I wish I understood better how if it does play in as more than just a thematic pull. I wish that was more obvious, because we both lost the thread of that. And, you know, just a couple little things here and there, but a worthy, worthy book and worthy of your time and energy and love. And of course, I cried at the end. Of course I did.
Oh, I cried at multiple points in this book, actually. I am also giving this 8 goddesses out of 10. I think this book is so good and I enjoyed it so much. And the world is so interesting and it wet my palate. I want more.
Yeah.
I don't think that the book was too short. I think it told its story great. I think it started, the middle and end were all great, but I do want more.
Give us more, Melissa.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I stand.
And if anybody out there throttled Melissa, shame on you. Shame on you. Let her write. Her worlds are beautiful. Okay, thank you guys so much for joining us. I'm Sandra.
I'm Scott.
Please keep reading past your bedtime.